Hello and welcome to the Atlanta Radio Theater Company's podcast. This week we bring you part two of Terry Pratchett's Guards, originally performed live at DragonCon 2001. At the conclusion of part one, Captain Vimes and his rank of men had just witnessed what they believed was an attack by a long-since-extinct creature, a dragon. If you like what you hear and would like to keep listening, remember that ARTC is supported entirely by people like you through the sale of our studio recordings. CDs are available by mail order through www.artc.org, or you can download most artsy titles through audible.com and iTunes. And now, part two of Terry Pratchett's Guards, adapted for audio by David Benedict.
Well, I guess that's that.
No, it isn't. Look, something is all wrong. These footprints come out of the alley, but they don't go in. So, something big and fiery came out of this alley, but didn't come into it. And the patrician is worried about it. I think we should get back to the watch house and give this some careful thought.
Dearest Mother, it has been a much better day. Captain Vimes has gone out to see a woman named Lady Ramkin. She breeds swamp dragons in her house and has instructed us to keep an eye out for a big dragon, even though it doesn't exist really. I do not understand some of these watch duties. My partner Nobby says I have a lot to learn. I think this is true because I have only got up to page 326 in the Laws and Ordinances of the Cities of Ankh and Morpork. Your loving son, Carrot. Hello. Is someone there?
Look.
Not many people these days remarked on the fact that the librarian of Unseen University was an orangutan. The change had been brought on by a magical accident, and he was considered to have got off lightly. After all, he was still basically the same shape. He resisted all attempts to turn him back. He felt that life as an orangutan had certain advantages over life as a human. It wasn't that he was unaware of the traumas of the human situation. It was just that, as far as he was concerned, you could stuff it.
Oh, hello.
Ooh!
I can't leave the office. I've had orders. Is that a smile? No? Someone hasn't committed a crime, have they? A bad crime, like murder? Worse than murder? Wow. Orders are orders, yes, but this is something else. The people in this city are capable of anything. Let's go. Wait, let me leave a note. Out fighting crime. Please call again later. Thank you.
The dragon on your shoulder looks very nice, Lady Ramkin.
Rubbish! I'm just training him up because shoulder sitters fetch twice the price. Oh, it sounds nice, I'll grant you. Then they realize it means soot burns, frizzled hair, and crap fall down their backs. Those talons dig in, too. Now then, Captain Vimes, was it? But Captain is such a dashing title, I've always thought. I mean, colonels and so on are always so stuffy. Majors are pompous, but one always feels that somehow there's something delightfully dangerous about a captain. What was it you wanted to ask me?
I was wondering, how big swamp dragons grow?
Well, you came all the way up here to ask me that. Well, I seem to recall Gayheart Talent Thrust of Ant stood 14 thumbs high to a tomat block. About 3'6".
No bigger than that.
Oh, golly, no. He was a bit of a freak, actually. Mostly you don't get much bigger than 8 thumbs. Would you like to come out back and see the pens?
I really don't know if I have...
Well, they're just this way. Won't take but a moment. There, aren't they lovely? Here's Moonpenny Duchess Marchpane, who's gravid at the moment. And here's Moonmiss Calanthrust too, who was best of breed at Sudopolis last year. And this, I'm afraid, is good boy Bindle Featherstone of Quirm.
He seems a little pathetic, doesn't he? I mean, the wings are a little stubby, and their head is all the wrong shape. And aren't them big nostrils a hindrance to flight?
Oh, he can't fly. These things just happen. It's all down to genes, you know.
It is.
Well, one tries to breed for a good flame, depth of scale, correct colour, and so on. One just has to put up with the occasional total whittle. That's nature for you. At any rate, why did you want to know about swamp dragons?
Ah, well, we have reason to believe that there may be a rather large dragon in the vicinity.
Someone's been playing tricks on you, old chap.
Well, there was circumstantial evidence. Rather unfortunate incident in the Shades that ended with some crispy criminals.
But that would mean trichinopolis.
Pardon?
Draco Nobilis! The noble dragon! Well, as opposed to these fellows, Draco Vulgaris, the lot of them. But the big ones are all gone, you know. This really is nonsense. No two ways about it. All gone. Beautiful things they were. Weighed tons. Biggest things ever to fly. No one knows how they did it.
We now rejoin Carrot and the librarian in a building filled with row upon row of shelves, each shelf lined with books. Carrot is about to make a calculated guess.
This is the library, isn't it? Is there a body? A book has been taken. A book has been taken. You summon the watch because someone's taken a book. You think that's worse than murder? This is practically a criminal offense, wasting watch time. Well, I don't see what we can do about it. All right, what's the book called? What? Four words. First word, small word, the second word, third word, small word, the A2 of the something of something. Second word, first syllable, fingers touching your fingers, thumb sounds like, fingers hand adding up some, cut off smaller words, some second syllable, small, very small syllable, a, in, non, non, summoner, summoning, the summoning of something. Oh, this is fun, isn't it? Fourth word, whole word, great big thing, huge thing, flapping, great big flapping, leaping thing, teeth hopping, blowing, great big flowing, flapping thing, sucking fingers, hot, burnt, hot, great big hot, blowing, flapping thing.
Oh, don't worry, he'll get it eventually. Meanwhile, the elucidated brethren of the Ebon Knight are working their diabolical plans once more.
Vivat Draco! Nos in vito tu cum quisquilae, nos in vito tu famulo, nos varo. Once again, brothers, we have achieved success.
And indeed they have, for even now there is a great big hot blowing flapping thing swooping over Ankh-Morpork.
Golly, look, it's using the thermals. That's what the fire is for. Do you realize we're very probably seeing something that no one has seen for centuries?
Yes, it's a bloody flying alligator setting fire to my city. How does it do something like that without burning its lips off?
Oh, that's just chemicals. They never actually have fire inside them unless they get a case of blowback.
What happens then?
You get dragon all over the scenery.
Oh.
They're not very well designed, I'm afraid. Like little walking chemical factories. They can make flame-producing fuels out of the most unlikely substances and even rearrange their digestive organs overnight to deal with complex problems. But one misplaced hiccup in their geography.
Well, you've really studied them, haven't you? Even the big ones.
Oh, golly, yes. They're a great mystery, you know. There are legends, though, how one species started to get bigger and bigger and then just vanished. I think they just found somewhere that they could really... B. We've got to find its lair.
Ye gods! Look! It's just blown up the watch house! We'd better get down there.
Down at the smoldering ruins of the watch's former headquarters, Sergeant Cullen is about to make a trained observation.
Sun's going down. That means it'll be night soon.
Yes, Sergeant.
Sure wish the captain were here.
Oh, I think this might be him now, sir. Did you see it?
We all saw it.
I know all about it. Someone's brought it here with magic. It's all in a book called The Summoning of Dragons.
Oh, magic. That means wizards. You get nothing but trouble with wizards. Oh, all right, attention, lads. This is Lady Sybil Ramkin. Lady Sybil, my squad.
Fine body of men. The good old rank and file, eh?
Well, the rank, anyway.
I always think that we can all sleep safer in my bed knowing that these brave men are watching over us. They're a credit to you, Captain.
That's a fine specimen of a dragon you brought with you there, ma'am.
Oh, he's not mine. He belongs to the captain now. Or all of you, perhaps. A sort of mascot. His name is Good Boy Bindle Featherstone.
He looks more like my brother Errol. Got the same pointed nose. Excuse me for saying so, m'lady.
I'm thinking of trying to use him to locate the dragon's lair. Lady Ramkin seems to think it might be worth a try. And we should hurry so we don't lose the scent. We'll start by that wall in the shades.
Is that wise, Captain?
Of course not. If we were wise, we wouldn't be in the watch.
It's out there.
gone to ground light during the hours of daylight, coiled up in its secret lair on top of a great hoard of gold, dreaming ancient reptilian dreams from a dawn of time, waiting for the secret curtains of the night, when once more it will sally forth and... What are you all looking at me like that for?
Very poetic.
Oh dear, a hoard of gold in this city? We'd best do something before someone gets hurt. Now let's go.
Dearest mother and father, talk about a turn up for the books. Last night the dragon burned up our headquarters, and lo and behold, we have been given a new one. It is in a place called Pseudopolis Yard, opposite the Opera House. Sergeant Colin said we have gone up in the world and has told Nobby not to try to sell the furnishings. Captain Vimes has been given a dragon by a lady who everyone says is mental, but Sergeant Colin says it's just from living in a big house with a lot of dragons, but she is worth a fortune, and well done to the captain for getting his feet under the table. I do not see what the furniture has to do with it. Today we are going to use a dragon to track down a dragon, although it still does not exist really. I'll write again soon. Your loving son, Carrot.
Didn't work.
It could be all the rain and people walking about, I suppose.
Oh, not now, Errol. Don't worry, I'm sure we'll find it soon.
What was that?
Sounded like it came from the plaza.
Oh, look, there it is. Oh, that's not right, it flying like that. I'm pretty sure there's something in one of the witchcraft laws. And it's damaged that roof. It's really piling up the offenses, you know.
Follow it!
Some loony is going to fight it.
Peanuts, Figgins, hot sausages. Oh, hello, lads. Hello, Captain Vimes. In at the death, eh? Have a sausage on the house, and that's cutting me own throat.
In every city and every country on the Discworld, there is someone like Cut Me Own Throat Dibbler, a purveyor of absolutely anything that could be sold hurriedly from an open suitcase on a busy street, and was guaranteed to have fallen off the back of an ox cart.
What's going on, Throat?
Some kid's ridden into the city and said he would kill the dragon. Got a magic sword, he says. Lad says he's the rightful heir, too.
To what?
The throne of Ankh.
What throne of Ankh? No, never mind. Lady Ramkin, kings of Ankh and thrones, are there...
What? Yes, used to be. Hundreds of years ago. Why?
Some kid says he's heir to the throne.
That's right. And soon you'll be in the royal guard, I expect. Get some plumes in your helmet.
You're bloody mad. You don't know anything about him. And he hasn't even won yet.
Bit of a formality, I expect.
It's a fire-breathing dragon. And he's just a guy on a horse, for heaven's sake.
Oh, you got no soul, Captain. When a stranger comes into the city under the thrall of the dragon and challenges it with a glittery sword, well... There's only one outcome, ain't there? It's probably destiny.
Oh, Errol certainly seems very excited about everything.
Well, it's not every day you get to see someone turned into charcoal. The lad does look confident, though. And you do have to admit that that's certainly a very shiny sword.
Ankh Morpork was celebrating. Street parties, pub crawls, posh banquets and balls. The now deposed Lord Vetinari seldom had balls. In fact, there was a popular song about it. But now it would be balls all the way. And back at the watch house, Captain Vimes was pondering.
Oh, what a fight! The dodging, the weaving, the shouts of the crowd. The young hero standing there looking tiny and unprotected. The dragon not flaming. Rather surprising, that. And then that thunderclap. Personally, I would have expected some bits of dragon left. And then they carried the lad up to the palace and threw the patrician into his own dungeon. Not that he seemed to mind all that much. He just smiled a bit and went quietly. Well, what a happy coincidence that just when the city needed a champion, a king shows up.
The dragon, having, of course, not been actually killed, is currently rather angry. It could remember the feel of real air under its wings and the sheer pleasure of the flame. And just as it was beginning to enjoy it, it had been whipped back into this other dimension. In the dragon's mind, the suggestion was kindled that, just possibly, it could get the world back. Perhaps there was a trail back to the world. It recalled a mind so full of its own diminutive importance, a mind almost like that of a dragon, but on a tiny scale.
Vivat Draco.
Ah, there it is.
What the hell was that? Yeah, you don't think?
No, we saw it killed, didn't we?
We saw it vanish. Maybe it's another dragon. We should warn people.
No, no, because A, they wouldn't believe us, and B, we got a king. It's his job now, dragons.
That's not a very civic attitude.
Hey, look, it's Errol. What's up with him?
Then did you see a dragon go by, apart from Errol?
Well, sort of, sir. Might have been.
Well, come on, lads, after him. Any idea where we are? I think we're in the business district somewhere. Errol's just up ahead. He's looking up at the sky and whining. I wonder if... Oh, no, not again!
Meanwhile, in the secret meeting place of the Elucidated Brethren of the Ebon Knight...
We've been hanging around for hours, Brother Watchtower. That's not right. I thought we'd get rewarded.
Well, I'm sure Supreme Grandmaster will be along directly. Let's not spoil it all now, eh? I mean, lads, arranging that fight with the dragon and everything, getting it off all right, that was something, wasn't it? We've been through a lot, right? It's worth waiting just a bit longer, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Certainly.
Fair enough.
If you say so.
Brothers, we are all here, aren't we?
What's the matter? Of course we are.
Yes.
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 Brothers. Brother doorkeeper, if you could just unbolt the dread portal. Is that you, Brother doorkeeper?
In a manner of speaking...
We never intended this, honestly. No offense. We just wanted what was due to us.
Congratulations.
And back outside the recently disintegrated meeting place of the Elucidated Brethren.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing, really, how it can turn a house to slag just like that. Lady Ramkin, I think it might be safer if you went home. Sergeant Colin and Corporal Knobs will escort you. Carrot and I will stay here to investigate.
What are we going to do now, sir?
Oh, how should I know? Warn people, I guess. We'd better get over to the Patrician's Palace and then...
What?
Look over there at that fellow. Well, there's no law against wearing long black robes and deep cowls. There could be dozens of perfectly innocent reasons why this person is wearing long black robes and a deep cowl and standing in front of a melted-down building at dawn.
Really?
Perhaps I should ask him to name just one. Excuse me, sir. I just wonder if you... Oh, after him, Lance Corporal! I think he went... No, wait. Damn, I think we lost him. Oh, come on, we better get along to the Patrician's Palace.
Oh, the King's Palace.
Oh, yes, that's right, our dragon-killing king. Well done, that man. They're not going to like this.
Captain Vimes and Carrot made their way back to Sidopolis Yard. Vimes had some very definite ideas about what he wanted done in circumstances like these, and wanted to make sure they were understood completely by his troops before he reported to the palace.
What time's the coronation, Sergeant?
At noon, sir, and Mr. Wants has sent a message about how you're to be in your best armor among all the civic leaders, sir. Sergeant Hummock and the day squad will be lining the route, sir.
It's up there, Sergeant. I can practically smell it.
Yes, sir.
So be damned to any lining of the route. I want you three up on the roofs, understand? When it makes its move, I want us to be the first to know.
Yes, sir. Do you think that's a good idea, sir?
Yes, Sergeant, I do. It was one of mine. Now go and see to it. I'll tell the secretary, Mr. Wants, that the dragon is back.
The rank made ready to man the rooftops to keep an eye out for the dragon. When Captain Vimes got to the palace, Lupin Wants said...
You're fired!
What?
I'm not going to tolerate a commander in the watch who spreads silly rumors about dragons! What? Now get back to the watch house and gather your things.
When he got back to the watch house, he noticed that Errol had eaten most of the table, the grate, the coal scuttle, and several lamps. Vimes comforted himself with the knowledge that he wouldn't have to tidy up the mess. On the rooftops, the rest of the watch comforted themselves in other ways.
Saw this.
Oh, don't worry, fellows. I'm sure a hero will turn up in time with some new sort of weapon or something and strike at its vulnerable spot.
Hey, what's one of them?
A spot where it's vulnerable. Oh, my granddad used to tell me stories. Hit a dragon in its vulnerables, he said, and you've killed it.
And where's the spot like?
Oh, a different place each dragon. You wait till it flies over and then you say, there's the vulnerable spot, and then you kill it. Something like that.
You know, Sarge, you always told me you used to win prizes for archery in the army.
Yeah.
You said you had a lucky arrow.
Yeah.
You always made sure you got your lucky arrow back. You
all right,
said you...
all right, all right, but why should I do it? What if I miss?
Well, look on the bright side. You'll probably never know it.
We'll never know what you mean. If you think I'm standing on some rooftop by myself, you can fake again. I'm ordering you to accompany me. Besides, I've watched you fight, Nobby. You know all about vulnerables.
Permission to volunteer, sir.
Granted. Now we need a plan.
Back at the coronation, a ruckus was just starting. The dragon flew slowly, only a few feet above the ground, wings sculling gracefully through the air. It should have come roaring, but the only sounds were the creaking of wings and the snapping of banners. It should have come threatening, not promising. And at Sidopolis Yard, Captain Vimes could hear the cheers change to sounds of panic and the mob of terrified citizens on the run. He smiled, put on his helmet, and humming a mad little tune, he sauntered out of the building, heading for the palace courtyard.
God, so much for the coronation. Ha! Oh, look at this courtyard. Oh, my, look at that dragon.
Say what you like, I still say it's a magnificent specimen.
Lady Ramkin, what are you doing here?
Have you noticed that every time we meet, dragons turn up? It's a bit like having your own tune, or something.
Where's the king?
Oh, see that pile of ash? He's in there somewhere.
Oh, dear. Before or after the coronation?
Just before.
Mm.
Look there. Who's that over there running away?
Looks like Lupin wants the patrician's secretary.
Oh, that poor man. It's got him.
No, wait. He's still moving. It's like it's examining him or something. What's that in his hand?
It looks like the crown. Oh, dear, I think he's offering it to the dragon.
Oh, but isn't that a good move? Dragons like gold.
What do you suppose the odds are of that crown being made of real gold? Oh, the dragon is carrying it towards the palace.
Oh, there goes the front gate. That didn't take long.
Oh, impressive. Oh, the steel doors lasted all of 10 seconds.
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
What on earth do you mean?
Oh, put out more flags. The dragon's got the crown. We've got a king after all.
Have you been drinking?
No, not yet. Not yet. Ha-ha, but I will be. I mean... the dragon is noble, after all. We'll really do it, too. It's the Ankh-Morpork way. If you can't beat it or corrupt it, you pretend it was your idea in the first place. Vivat Draco!
You've been listening to part two of Guards, Guards, written by Terry Pratchett, adapted for audio and produced by David Benedict, directed by Thomas E. Fuller. Featured in the cast were the voices of John Rhys Davies as Lupin Wants, Phil Carter as Carrot, and Doug Kay as Captain Vimes. Additional voices provided by Trudy Leonard, Brad Strickland, Jonathan Strickland, Terry Sanders, Bill Jackson, Dina Friedman, Fiona Karenina Leonard-Brown, Thomas E. Fuller, Daniel Taylor, Daniel Kiernan, Karen Barrett, Ron N. Butler, Brad Lina Weaver, and Claire Whitworth Kiernan. Foley sound effects created by Lily, Daniel Taylor, Anthony Fuller, and Jeff Baskin. Recorded sound effects provided by Henry Howard and Audiocraft Studio, performed by Matt Sicato. Sound engineering by Henry Howard and William Allen Rich, with David Carter, Brad Weege, and Sonia. The floor manager was Helen Flights. Live music composed and performed by Alton Leonard. The material in this podcast is copyright 2007 by Terry Pratchett and is available at podcast.artc.org. Visit www.artc.org for more information. We are the Atlanta Radio Theater Company, reminding you that there is adventure in sound.
ARTC.org.